This podcast is brought to you by the SQPN store at smile.amazon.com. Select SQPN as your eligible charity at smile.amazon.com. And whenever you shop at Amazon by going to smile.amazon.com, you'll support SQPN with a portion of your purchase. Once again, go to smile.amazon.com and select SQPN as your eligible charity.
You're listening to Let's Talk, episode 35, brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network. Howdy all, Father Corey Stika here. Welcome to Let's Talk, our usually weekly SQPN community podcast. We missed last week due to some scheduling issues. It just didn't work out. So unfortunately, we didn't have a podcast last week. This time, you know, other people have taken blame. This time I've got to take blame for this one because I was busy last week and it just didn't work out for being able to schedule a recording. But we do have a guest this week, someone who hasn't been on Let's Talk yet. Marika Donders, welcome.
Hello, this is great. I've been sort of looking forward to this.
So. Yeah, we're glad to have you on. I know you've been around the SQPN community for quite a while, so it's great to have you on. Why don't you tell people about yourself?
Well, I am currently in the North Country of New York in the Diocese of Ogdensburg, and I'm the Director of Evangelization for the Diocese. And I've been here about 7 years, which is actually the longest I've been anywhere.
Boy, so, I know that feeling. Yeah. It's kind of like me living in this parish. That's the longest I've been anywhere. Now, people will notice an accent. Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from the Netherlands, or Holland, as some people like to call it, because the Netherlands is sort of a tongue twister. And I came to the States when I was 11. So you may also occasionally hear a little bit of Southern creeping in because I grew up in Atlanta. So I'll say things like y'all and fixing too and that sort of thing.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Yep. People have asked me if I'm from Kansas, and I'm not quite sure why. But
yeah, that is kind of interesting because usually Kansas has more of a flat accent. That's why they're always the news broadcasters and things like that. They always have that kind of flat Midwestern accent. Well, now we ran into each other.
We did.
A few years ago at an event, and it's actually what we're going to talk about because this event is going on again. It's World Youth Day. So we were both in Poland for World Youth Day 3 years ago. It's hard to believe it was that long ago.
Yeah, I know. It seems like yesterday.
We still have our poster. We had a big big vinyl sign made up for our group, and we still have it hung up in our stairwell at our church. Mm-hmm. But of course, World Youth Day is going on right now in Panama. You know, down there where it's actually warm. You know, we're both in northern climes where it's cold and snowy. What are we doing here?
Why didn't I get a group together?
I know, right? They announced Panama, and we're all kind of like, Panama? Why would you want to go to Panama? And now we're sitting there, it's warm down there right now. Yep. Now would be a perfect time to go to Panama. What made you want to go to World Youth Day in Poland?
Well, the fact that it was in Poland and it was Krakow, it's actually my third World Youth Day. I went to both Sydney, Australia and to Madrid, Spain. And I thought, well, Madrid will be my last one. We didn't really want to go to Brazil because that was 2 years, after Madrid and we would have had to go back and go into fundraising mode. So we thought, well, we'll skip Brazil. And then I thought, I'm done with World Youth Day. And then they announced Krakow. And it's like, I'm a John Paul II generation person. Oh, so yeah. It's like, I want to go. So I asked my bishop. I had just actually started here in 2012. I went to Madrid and Sydney with a group from Keene, New Hampshire. And so I asked my bishop, what do you think about getting a group together to go to Krakow? And he was like, well, try it. So we had a group of about 11 including myself. So we had four guys, four girls, two priests, and myself.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. For me, it was the same reason. You know, I've always wanted to visit Poland. Poland is, you know, it's one of those countries that, you know, kind of stands in the imagination, of course, with John Paul too. You know, we're similar age, not to disclose age, but, you know, we both grew up during the John Paul II era. And, you know, for me, it was the same thing of, you know, wanting to see where John Paul II was from, wanting to see, you know, the culture that shaped him.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah. We did the same thing. It was the same kind of thing as I really had. It'd been interesting to go to World Youth Day, like when it was in Toronto, but a decade or so ago, and other places like that. Boy, that would have been nice, but it's crowded. There's lots of people. It's busy. You got to walk everywhere. And we'll talk about some of that kind of stuff as part of the World Youth Day experience. But then when they mentioned Poland and my diocese put together a trip, and it actually ended up being not just my diocese, but the entire state of Montana. There were about 60 of us that went.
Yeah.
And a number actually from the parish here. I kind of promoted it a little bit here in the parish here, and my DRE went with and a bunch of others. And we had a good time. It was a lot of fun. We got to, and we'll talk about some of the things that happened, not just with World Youth Day itself, but there are other experiences that kind of surround the World Youth Day trip. It's, you know, so we'll kind of talk about all that, because there's a lot that really goes into World Youth Day. And I think we both have kind of experienced a lot of that. Now, the history of World Youth Day is kind of interesting. You know, we've mentioned John Paul II, St. John Paul II, but he really is the one who started World Youth Day. It really comes from him. Now, do you know much about the history of it?
I don't know a great deal. I know he started it, and I know that I don't remember the first one. It was Rome, I believe.
I think it might have been.
And then the first time I really heard about it actively was when I went to Denver, because I was in the convent at the time. I was with the Daughters of St. Paul. And at that point, it was a choice between, do I go to Denver for World Youth Day with the Daughters of St. Paul, or do I go home to Holland to visit my parents? Right. And I chose to go visit Holland to visit my parents. I missed Denver, but I heard all the stories of all the nuns who came back, and, you know, the laughter that came around it, and all the adventures they had. And I was like, oh, I wish I'd gone. But I really wanted to go see my parents. And my parents really wanted to come have me come see them. So.
Oh, yes.
And so I didn't go to Denver. But that's really the first time that sort of hit my consciousness, if you will. That,
I think for a lot of us it was, because, you know, I remember Denver. I unfortunately heard about Denver after it had happened. You know, the year after it happened. It's like, boy, that sounds like that would have been an incredible trip. And of course, you know, you hear the fruit of so many movements that have come out of Denver. You know, so much of the pro-life movements received a big boost out of Denver. So many of these new evangelization. I mean, I know SQPN itself is not a direct cause from Denver, but I think you could probably trace back some of the movement to that. Other World Youth Day events as well. So, I mean, there's World Youth Day in Denver, which was, I mean, that was 1993. That was 25 years ago.
I know. Is that amazing?
You know, and it's just like, but it's still something that is providing fruit for our the church in the United States.
Yeah. The seeds that get planted at World Youth Days is just amazing. And just seeing it, even with the kids that I know who have gone to the various ones, and seeing how active they are in their faith today.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, you know, it's just amazing to see the fruit of the World Youth Days.
And I think that's one of the big things about World Youth Day. It is a world event.
Mm-hmm.
People travel from throughout the world. You go to these events, and yes, there are events, you know, there are, the catechesis, they call them, you know, that's one of the big things they have is you go to an arena, a gymnasium, you know, an event center, and you have teaching, and it's bishops and priests and lay evangelists and, you know, people that are a lot of times from your country, who come over to teach.
Yeah.
You know, you have musicians, for, you know, who, again, from your country who come over to teach. Mm-hmm. But you get to see people from throughout your country and meet people from your country. And that's where we ran into each other. We ran into each other at the Taran Center, which is where our catechesis was. Mm-hmm. From where I was living, where we were staying in Krakow, it was all the way across the city. I think for a lot of people it was.
We were in an amazing location because we were it was actually funny because for the registration and everything, the hotel needed our passports, which I thought was odd. And so it's like we went with a tour operator who's done many, many World Youth Days and always gets really good locations. And we, you know, I had looked at it on the map and it looked great centrally located and all that stuff. But then they wanted all this information on all our pilgrims. And it's like, why does the hotel need all this stuff? This seems really weird. And, you know, we got there and we were on the second, we had rooms on second and third floors of the hotel. And then, you know, we tried to go to the top of the hotel just to see, you know, to be able to look out and see over the city. And we couldn't get past the third floor. And we thought, well, that's odd. And then the next morning I came down and there's like all these guys with these little curlicues coming out of their ears. And all these cardinals, they were in our building. They were on the top floors of our building.
Oh, that's funny.
And so I was like, oh, that's why they needed all our information, because they were doing background checks on everybody.
Yeah, and you had the security.
Because we were like a half a block away from where the Pope was staying. We were inside the security zone. I was like, oh, that's interesting. So, yeah, we had an excellent location.
we weren't quite so fortunate. Though we had a good location. I mean, we were only about a mile from Market Square.
Okay.
Downtown Krakow. Mm-hmm. Beautiful spot. Lots of great shops and restaurants. And we had so much fun. Every day we'd walk down there. Or once we figured out the bus system and the tram system, we got it even better. Where we could be dropped off like right in front of the university where we're staying. So it was even better. You know, so, and that's another part of World Youth Day. It's not just the World Youth Day events. It's also getting to experience the culture, experience the town, the city you're in. So going back to the history, you know, John Paul II started at the first, I'm taking this all from Wikipedia, but it's 1984 is considered the first one in Vatican City. And then they had another one a year later in Rome itself. Okay. So I would assume somewhere outside of the city there. Mm-hmm. But then it's been every 2 to 3 years since, you know, usually on odd years, but occasionally they do them on even years, depending on what's going on. So it's about every 2 to 3 years they do them, depending on how things fall. Obviously, they're doing this one now in January because it's the decent temperature. Time.
Yeah. And the dry Panama. Season.
Yeah, and the dry season. Now, relatively speaking, because there are videos out there of people that are there, it's still not cool. It's warm. They show people walking and they're sweating. Yeah. And that's what Krakow was like. It was quite hot while we were there.
Yep.
Not Panama hot, not by any stretch of the imagination. You know, it was summer in Poland and it felt like it. But it was it's been going on since then. John Paul II started it and he really promoted it. Benedict XVI was very encouraging of it. And I think he enjoyed it as much as John Paul II did.
Yeah.
And then now, of course, Pope Francis has been doing it as well and has been supporting it. The whole idea of World Youth Day is to gather the youth of the church together. And when we define youth in the church, I think we sometimes miss in the United States what that means. It's not school kids.
Yeah. It's more young adults and senior high school and up.
it's basically the 18 to 35 demographic is what we'll say. Now we stretch that a little bit, you know, I mean, on either direction, but in most groups, you really can't go if you're under 18.
Right.
You know, and if you get too old, you might not want to go because it is a lot of walking.
Effort. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, you get there and it's, you know, for example, again, this is according to Wikipedia, there was 3.5 million people in Krakow while we were there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to the big final mass, you see every one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah. Except for me. I wasn't at the big mass.
You didn't go to the big mass.
No, my ankles gave out. Oh. And So I decided to stay back and just let the kids do the walking. And so I stayed and watched it on TV, which was actually very comfortable.
Oh, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was. It was a great experience. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd want to do it again, but it was a great experience.
Yeah.
Because, you know, again, from where we were on the exact opposite side of the city. So we had to take the trams all the way to when they stopped.
Yeah.
The trams and the buses all the way to when they stopped. And it was still another, I want to say, 2 or 3 mile walk beyond that. And of course, you've got this flood of people walking to and this flood of people walking back.
Yeah.
You know, but you go and it's going to be a work.
Yeah.
So let's kind of go through the timeline of what a World Youth Day looks like.
Okay.
And it actually starts before the official events.
Oh,
at least the one I did. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I would assume they're doing it with Panama. I haven't heard for sure. But they do the days in the diocese.
Yep.
And we did that this year or that year in Krakow. And it was an incredible experience.
We did it for Sydney and we did it for Madrid, but we didn't do it for Krakow because it was my first time planning one. So I decided to do it the easy way. And definitely, I highly recommend it if you're going to do a World Youth Day, participate in Days in the Diocese.
Oh, absolutely.
It is amazing. So
yeah, we were in the diocese, so Snovik.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to look at the map. It's west of Krakow, about an hour drive or so. It's really not that far from Krakow. We were just kind of outside. It's actually right by Częstochowa.
Okay. Wow.
It's kind of in that area.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Auschwitz is in that area. Mm-hmm. And it's so all the things we wanted to see in Poland outside of Krakow were right there.
Uh-huh.
And so we got to go to Częstochowa to the Black Madonna and had a mass there with their diocese.
Mm-hmm.
We got to go. Matter of fact, we did an actual pilgrimage to the Black Madonna. We walked.
Oh, wow.
From a parish outside of town, kind of, again, about a five. It wasn't a long hike, but it was an all day thing because, of course, we're not in a hurry.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was probably about 10 or 15 mile. Mm-hmm. Pilgrimage.
Yeah.
Because that's a tradition in Poland is at some point in your life, if not multiple times, to do a walking pilgrimage to the Black Madonna.
Yeah.
To Częstochowa, which is beautiful, beautiful tradition. So we got to participate in that. It was wonderful. It was a lot of fun. And again, you know, there were all kinds of groups and you got to see all kinds of people. Mm-hmm. We went to Auschwitz, you know, got to see where all that. Unfortunately, because there were so many people going through, we couldn't go into the buildings and see all the exhibits and get the full experience. But we still got to see where Maximilian Kolbe died, St. Maximilian Kolbe died, the building where he was at. We got to see, you know, where they would execute prisoners and so on. Mm-hmm. So you still got to get some of the experience.
Yeah, we did the same thing. We did it actually during the week itself and we did make a side trip to Auschwitz.
Yeah.
And it was just very impressive. And it was also something I think that was really, that really touched the hearts of the kids. You know, and when I say kids, they were 18. They were high school, college kids mostly.
Yep.
But just, you know, just being able to come and then reflect on it and to reflect on Maximilian Kolbe and to really to share, you know, what did you feel? What did you sense? What, you know, what's going on inside your heart right now? And then how does this affect you? It was amazing and very powerful, powerful experience.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Auschwitz is incredible experience, and I don't know if people realize this, but Auschwitz actually has multiple spots. There's the actual original Auschwitz, which is the one where Maximilian Kolbe died, but then there's Birkenau, which is on the other side of town. There's not much left there. They're actually, there's the big main gate. You know, if you see the picture of the tracks running into this big main gate, that's Birkenau.
Yeah,
Auschwitz II, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then there's a third one that's somewhere close by as well. Mm-hmm. You know, but there were multiple sites of these camps that were used to.
The original one was barracks. It was a military barracks.
Yeah.
And they just sort of took it over. So,
yeah, it was actually a training camp for the Polish military before the Germans invaded. So we got to do that as part of that week.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were in parishes.
Mm-hmm.
So we had two parishes, Slokow, and if there's anybody who speaks Polish and you know what I'm talking about, I'm sorry, I'm going to destroy the names. And I'm not even remembering them exactly. Anyways, mm-hmm. we were two parishes that were right mm-hmm. next to each other, two little small villages that really, mm-hmm. they weren't any bigger than where I live here in Malta. Yep. They're about 2,000, 3,000 people, but of course they were small villages in kind of a rural area. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of split our group, and the priests, we lived with the local parish priests.
Right.
And our bishop, who was with on the trip, stayed with the priest as well in the other parish. Mm-hmm. It was funny because I didn't speak, myself and the other priest that was with me didn't speak any Polish.
Right.
The pastor didn't speak English, but there was two associate pastors, one of whom spoke broken English, the other one spoke fluent English.
Yeah.
And there were still things that carried across. There were still things that I as a pastor, my brother priest as a pastor, and mm-hmm. the pastor there, we could tell.
Yeah.
We knew what was going on.
Yeah. One thing that always sort of strikes me is that it doesn't matter what language you are, and you can always, for example, you can hear the cadence of the Our Father.
Yep.
It's the same worldwide. Doesn't matter what language is it. You know it immediately, like, oh, that's the Our Father.
Yep.
You know? And just the amount of conversation that you can have simply by few words and lots of hand gestures.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's a lot of universals that do carry across from culture to culture. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the big things, is you get to see these other cultures. That's the big thing the Day of the Diocese is for, is to get to experience, even just for like 3 or 4 days, mm-hmm. this culture. Yeah. You get to meet the people. You know, we were there for a Sunday parish mass,
mm-hmm.
this little parish.
Yep.
Again, not any bigger than what I have here for a church, and it was mm-hmm. packed.
Yeah.
And beautiful church. It was a new church in Poland. It was only 100 years old.
Yes. Yeah, I know. It's when I was in, what struck me in Poland was how Catholic everything was.
Yes.
When I was in Sydney, it was how secular everything was.
Yeah.
You know, and what in Spain, when I was there, talking back about language and conversation, we stayed with a family, elderly couple, did not speak English. We had 3 adults staying there who didn't speak Spanish. I had crammed vocabulary, so I had words, mm-hmm. but I had no grammar.
Right.
And so I'm speaking in infinitives, but I became the translator because the other two refused to even try. And so it would be like, you know, they would be speaking Spanish and I would translate into simple English and they would speak into me and I would speak in with words and gestures, got it across to them in Spanish. And I went back and forth and back and forth until I got tired. And then they would speak to me in Spanish and I would translate and I get these blank stares and I realized that, oh, that wasn't English. That was Dutch. Sorry, I'm going to bed. Because I lose English when I get tired. So so that was the interesting thing. And just the love of the people who want mm-hmm. to assist, who want to help.
Oh, yeah.
In Poland, I was doing was walking around at one of our free afternoons, and I was in a little park and praying a rosary, and this little old, you know, peasant-looking woman came up to me and smiling and tapped on my hands and pointed to my rosary and pointed to herself. And then she pulled out her rosary and pointed to her rosary and pointed to me. It's like, you pray for me, I pray for you. You know,
yep, that's exactly.
And I was just, you know, complete stranger. But it's those little things you remember. You know,
yes.
It's not, the big events are awesome. The big vigil masses, it's awesome to see the universality of the church that way. And for a lot of our kids, especially if you're coming from a rural area, seeing just all these countries coming together, all these flags, it's fantastic. But it's the little things you remember. It's the little gestures and the little touches and the, the things you learn because it is a pilgrimage. And so, there's a struggle that you have to overcome. And I was sick for the vigil in Australia, but I went and it was cold because it was winter down there. And so mm-hmm. it was 70 during the day, but it was freezing at night. And in my sleeping bag, in like 4 layers of clothes, I was freezing cold. And getting back was, I had, your little backpack and your bedroll and all that stuff. And having to let go of control and having other people carry my stuff for me because I just had no energy left.
Right.
You know, just learning to say, okay, I surrender this and thank you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and being willing to accept help, because sometimes it's a lot easier to give help than to accept it.
Exactly.
But those type of lessons is what you get from a pilgrimage. And that's the mantra we kept saying too. You know, it's a pilgrimage, not a vacation. It's a pilgrimage,
yeah,
not a vacation.
Well, and that's mm-hmm. I think a lot of people expect to go to World Youth Day. It's going to be like a vacation where you're going to have the shuttle buses and you're going to have the nice hotels, and you can have that. I think you could very easily put together a World Youth Day package where you go to everything.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you're not going to have to walk as far. You're not going to have to, you know, yeah. I think you could do that. Is it worth it? No,
no, yeah.
No, it really isn't.
Yeah. And it's in the standing in line and waiting in line where you meet the other people. You know,
exactly.
It's in Krakow had a different food system, but like in both in Sydney and in Madrid, well, actually in Sydney was the type where you had to have six people for each food pack because you got a food pack.
Oh, sure.
And so if you did not have a multiple of six people in your group, you still needed to get six people. So there were people standing around with like two fingers in the air because they needed two people to make a group of six.
Yeah.
And so that's where you met people. You started having conversations, and you know it's like we have to work together to get this food. So that was that. That's the sort of things. It's those little side things to World Youth Day. It's the big events are great, but it's the little personal touches that you remember.
Yeah, it's you'd be standing there like for the catechesis waiting to get in. You'd say, "Oh, you got a flag from this
from
state.
This
you got
state,
a flag from that site.
Yeah.
I can hear your accent.
Yeah.
Where are you from? Yeah.
Right.
You talked about the food, and actually Krakow, it worked really well. They basically would give you coupons for so much money.
Yeah.
And you would go use that at food trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And different
lines,
restaurants
though.
Throughout. Yeah, exactly. You would try to hit it at different hours when everybody else was. Either you try to get, you know, like say you'd hurry up to get back from events, so you could hit the food truck before everyone else did, or you'd wait till the crowd would go down a little bit and then go.
Yeah.
You know,
and we found some really cheap restaurants, and it was actually easier just to go get restaurant food. And we were staying at the hotel, so we had it came with breakfast.
Oh, there you go.
I always bring Ziploc bags wherever I go. And we made our sandwiches.
There you go.
Lunches made from the breakfast tables.
So, I mean, it's this kind of thing that you do. I mean, it really is. You think about it. And admittedly, you know, there are times where, like my brother priest and I would say, let's go get a good meal. And we'd go run down to Market Square and we'd go find an excellent restaurant. And food and drink in Poland was cheap.
Cheap.
$20, you could get a full... good meal. I mean, we're talking, you know, something here in the States would be $30 and up.
Yeah.
With drinks, with alcoholic drinks, beer or wine or whatever you want for $20.
Yeah.
And that was a high meal. This was a good meal. This was not McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know. So anyways, I mean, we're kind of wandering off track. That's all right.
Memories,
this is all part of the experience. This really is part of the experience of going to what they're experiencing in Panama. Yeah. You know, watching some of the videos, you know, they went to Popeye's Chicken down there, you know, stuff like that. Finding a restaurant.
Yeah.
But so after the days of the diocese, you go to the actual location, the city.
Yeah.
Now, again, there's hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people descending upon this city. So don't imagine it's like you go to a conference and you're staying in the same hotel as all the conferences are.
Yeah.
You're going to be somewhere in the city and you're going to have to use public
transportation.
Or Uber or taxi or just good old fashioned walking.
Walking. Yep.
You know, you're going to have to get to these events, but then there are going to be events. There's going to be, you know, once everybody is gathered on the official start day, there'll be the opening mass, usually with the archbishop of the location or, you know, some other important bishop or cardinal of the location.
Yep.
And everybody, and that's the smaller of the two mass of two big masses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's pretty.
Yep. And it's simulcast on radio. So you have everybody fiddling with their earpieces.
Yeah. Before I left, I bought a cheap radio. I think it was like $10 for just a little cheap pocket radio so that you could sit. Because what they'll do is, of course, it'll be broadcast either in the local language or, you know, the mass will be celebrated either in like local language or Latin or some other combination thereof. And so you would listen to the translation. Yeah. You know, they would have a text of the homily translated. They would have the text of the mass they'd have translated, you know, using whatever the current translation is. Right. And so you could sit and listen to it. Yeah. And everybody's listening, you know, and, you know, it, it worked pretty well. Yeah. You know, they'd set up mobile transmitters and you could hear it pretty easily. Mm-hmm. And those are impressive because, of course, you get to see, you know, those who are there for the full event.
Yeah.
You know, as the events go on, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But I think in Krakow, the opening mass, I want to say, was 750,000 people.
Yes, anyways, I think so. Yeah.
It was still a huge event. And we were actually only about 2 miles from where that occurred, that park where that occurred.
Okay, yeah.
So we were pretty close. That was easy for us to get to, or those
events.
We actually
walked there, yeah. So we didn't take the trolley there. We just walked that whole stretch. Yeah. And that in itself is fun. The walk to the event is like you're in this sea of people that's streaming and people singing their national songs and it's people praying rosaries and it's just the whole thing is an experience.
Exactly.
And every little piece of it is an experience. And
I
think for you know, coming both the three times I went were all with rural dioceses. And so kids who had, you know, at most had been, you know, a big event for them would have been at like a Steubenville conference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they went and it was like, whoa, look at all these people.
Well, it's funny though, because here in Montana has, I want to say it's 1.2 million people in the entire state.
Yeah.
Now we're the fourth largest land-wise in the nation, but we're only 1.2 million people.
Right.
And so some of these events, the big mass at the end, literally there was like two to three times more people than there is the entire state of Montana. You know, so I mean, this blew people's minds. Yeah. I mean, to see that many people.
Yeah.
You know, kind of going on, you start with that big opening mass, and then usually it's like the next day is when the Pope arrives. The Pope actually usually doesn't come to start. He usually comes after a day or two after it starts. Mm-hmm. And that's always a big event because the Pope comes in and it's not a mass. It's just like a prayer service. Yeah. It's like a vigil service.
Yep.
And that's always an incredible event because, of course, he drives through the crowd onto the Pope Mobile and they always set it up so it's not the most direct route so everybody can get a chance to see him.
Yeah.
You know, we were close enough to the stage that we actually were. He went right by our group.
Right.
Which was pretty cool. But that's when everything really gets rolling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is when the Pope shows up, that's then where. Now we start getting into the World Youth Day activities.
Yeah.
And that's when the catechesis event starts.
Yeah.
And those are always incredible.
Right. And just the adoration at the Tariq Center.
Oh,
and
that was amazing.
And just again, it's, you know, then everything is in English in your local catechesis area. And so it's sort of I can breathe, I can speak English and not have to worry about how do I say thank you in Polish again, and excuse me, it's like I had like three or four words that I learned in Polish. I tried to cram Polish vocabulary and it's just like, it all starts with a P and an R and a Z. And it's like after that point, it's sort of like, okay, I don't know what's what anymore, but just being able to be there and to go, and even, you know, the confessions that are there and, you know, people praying, you know, on their own. There was like the Adoration Chapel and they had the bones of people. The
reliquaries.
Reliquaries, yeah. And people taking time to really learn about those. And it's so beautiful to see the fervent faith, you know, very much alive. And, it's just such a hopeful experience. So.
Yeah, it really is. And it's because you go to these events and like in the case where we were at, there was about 20,000 people inside this stadium. And it looked like a smaller stadium. Basketball stadium.
Right.
I mean, you go to a basketball stadium, you know, typical stadium in, you know, New York or Los Angeles or wherever. Mm-hmm. That's what it looked like. It was a little bit smaller. It wasn't as big as some of the ones we have here in the States. Mm-hmm. Like I said, with the floor seating, you could seat about 20,000 people. And there were more wanting to get in, but we reached capacity. They said we can't let any more in.
Yeah, there was actually one day we couldn't get in because we were too late.
And it was, and if you've seen the pictures or the video of Bishop Barron, where he's talking about the cross, the Blessed Sacrament is exposed, beautifully lit up. I mean, beautiful monstrance, beautifully lit up, and he's talking about the cross because it was right after that priest in France had been martyred.
Yes.
That was at the Tarrant Center. We were there. We watched that event. We watched the Blessed Sacrament process by, you know, and they processed it all the way through the crowd and everything. And it was just a powerful experience, you know. Yeah. Again, 20,000 people there, and you could have dropped a pin on the floor and you would have heard it throughout. Mm-hmm. It would have echoed.
Yeah.
It was that quiet during the during the adoration. It was incredible. And there were sacrament the Blessed Sacrament was obviously exposed for that, but there was also confessions. And I, you know, I was able to do about an hour or so where I sat in the room where there was probably about 20 confessors at a time. And priests would rotate in and out so that people could come in and receive the sacrament. It was just phenomenal.
And there was a line continually. If you make it available, they will come.
And confessions were available there. They were available in park there, again, close to where I was at, where we
and
were
then
staying.
At the John Paul II Shrine and the Mercy Shrine, they had them set up. And
So there was, well, that's the other thing, you know, you could do is go see stuff like that. We were able to go see Divine Mercy in the JP2 Shrine. It was just, I mean, there's all those kind of things going on, and it's again, and while this is going on, people aren't just going to these events. You know, you might take an afternoon and say, you know, I'm not going to go to the catechesis this afternoon, whether it is just because I don't feel like going, or there's, I really don't want to, you know, I'm not that interested in the speakers, or, you know, it happens. But instead I'm going to go down to Market Square and go do some shopping. Or go, you know, get a meal.
And even then you're still immersed in the event, because the event is it's an immersion experience in Catholicism. It's like, and you know, it sort of makes you realize that, you know, this is, the faith is integral to our lives, and we really should be doing this all the time. Maybe not to this extent, but we should always live out our faith. And it gives you this experience of, you know, this is how it could be, that immersion in the faith, and that everything is affected by it. And it changes you, it's transformative. And like one of the places we went a lot was the Dominican church, where they had, because they had set up in their, sort of in their backyard, this little restaurant, and it was, but it was all these young people coming together, and there were all these discussions, and they had little tables set up, and it was just this, you know, that in itself could have been the experience. I mean, I could have just stayed there the whole time, and I would have been thoroughly happy. And again, you know, going to the John Paul II Shrine and seeing the relics there, but also, we had to wait to get into the lower chapel because we wanted to go venerate the blood that was under the altar. But before we could, there was a mass going on. It was in Ukrainian. But at the end, they were singing the Lord, You Have Come to the Seashore. That melody in Ukrainian in like 6-part harmony.
Wow.
You know, and it was just goosebumps. I just stood there and I started bawling, because it was just one of those things where it's just like, I have no idea why this is touching me the way it is touching me, but it was just beauty, you know. And you know, again, it's like, it's those experiences, it's those memories that you take with you and that feed you when you have a day where, you know, it's like, yeah, I don't really feel like doing whatever I'm supposed to be doing, and it's like, oh, but No, God is here.
I have to admit, there was mm-hmm. one event that I just flat out said I'm not going. That was the mm-hmm. the Stations of the Cross.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't anything against the Stations of the Cross, although in the past there have been controversies over the Stations of the Cross at different World mm-hmm. Youth Days.
Yes.
But it was just, I was tired.
Yeah. Yes.
I was tired about being around people, and I just wanted a day where I can veg out.
I need introvert time.
You know, and that's the nice thing about something like this is mm-hmm. there isn't anything you're required to go to.
Right.
You can go to it if you want. You could go to World Youth Day. You can spend the money to go there mm-hmm. and not go to any of the big mm-hmm. events.
Yeah.
If you and really still wanted
get
to.
And still get an experience.
Still experience it. I mean, it's still worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But there is the Station of the Cross, and the Pope is usually present for it.
Yeah.
And it's acted out and kind of goes through the crowd and everything. And it's a beautiful, you know, if you've seen mm-hmm. videos of it, you know it is a beautiful thing.
Right.
It really is. It's just that was the one day where it's like I've had enough people.
I think we'd missed that as well. Was that the day it rained really hard?
It rained right before the opening event.
Right.
I mean, literally, it was raining as we were walking there, and then it stopped right before the actual event.
And I think we missed the Stations of the Cross. We decided to do something else and pray them on our own, and we actually mm-hmm. we went to another parish and actually just prayed the stations in the parish,
you know? Sure.
And sure. But you know, again, it's like, you know, the ones in Australia are the ones I remember for the stations.
Right.
They were just beautiful and well acted and beautiful music, and
oh yes,
so it's but you know, again, it's like you can go to these, you don't have to. It's, you know, And you sort of pick and choose, because you can't do everything. Because if you do everything, you're going to drop dead.
You're going to be worn out just going to half the events,
right,
you
know.
And we were. I mean, by the time the final mass was done, I was like, I'm glad we're leaving.
Yeah. Ready to go home.
And of course, you know, because it was hot, we were mm-hmm. tired. And I'll have to tell a story about that, about getting back from the final mass here in a little bit. But of course, it all builds up to the mass. Everybody, this is the one everybody knows. This is the mm-hmm. one that, you know, this is where you have the millions of people, again, 3.5 mm-hmm. million people in this park. This large open field mm-hmm. that, as I recall, it had been like an industrial site that they had mm-hmm. completely cleaned up.
Right.
You know, and it was just this actually quite a beautiful spot. There was kind of it was a cooling pond for a power plant, but it was, you know, a pond there and everything. And it was quite beautiful.
Yep.
And just millions of people, and everybody goes in the night before and they stay overnight and next morning, you know, sleep there on the ground, and they vents mm-hmm. the night before and vents the morning of. And mm-hmm. and that's when the Pope is there, and the Pope celebrates this huge mass, and, you know, priests from throughout the world and people from throughout the world. Yeah. And it's just an amazing experience. Yeah.
And the the one I went to in Spain, there was at an old Air Force field, airfield, and it was covered in sand, and it looked like they had grown like wheat just and had just cut it, so there were like all these stubbles, and mm-hmm. there were little yellow grasshoppers everywhere. And you know, it's like, I mean, you just sort of like, you just sort of took them for granted at a while, like, you can't do anything about them. But that's the one in Spain was the one where they had the storm that came up during the vigil, and we could see lightning starting all around us. And I mean, it was like there was no place you could go, so it's like there's just this lightning storm all around. And then the Pope came in, and you know, they wanted him to go because they thought it was getting dangerous. It's like, well, they can't go anywhere, I'm not going anywhere. So he stayed and prayed with us. And then the rain came down. And it was actually very nice because it was cool, because it had been like 110 degrees. So it's like, oh, you know, so everybody was just, you know, put everything in their plastic bags and just sort of danced in the rain. But the storm broke down all the Quonset huts that had been set up around that, whereas the chapels.
Oh,
and
sure.
And destroyed the hosts for the mass the following day.
Oh, no.
So, and it's not like you can just go to your next neighborhood parish and it's like, gee, I would like, you know, 2 million hosts.
A million hosts, yeah.
So for communion, they had enough hosts for the priests and like that first section of the very important people, but not for the people in the crowd. And right. So it actually became a teaching opportunity to talk about, you know, spiritual communion. We later had mass in our hotel and received communion there. But
right.
But during that storm, it got kind of scary because there was thunder and lightning and rain and just mm-hmm. whoosh. And the Pope, that they wanted the Pope to leave, and the Pope decided to stay. And he asked everybody to kneel and to be quiet and to pray.
Sure.
And when everybody knelt and prayed, the storm stopped. It
wow.
was like, you know, it was goosebump time. And then at a certain point, and everybody that I've talked to, no matter where they were in that field, saw it, there was a single white dove that flew up, you know, against the black sky.
Right. Oh, sure.
And everybody went, Holy Spirit's in the house! You know? And then, you know, then we continued. It was, you know, and that was sort of the end of the storm. But it was just yep. everybody I talked to who was at that mass saw this dove, mm-hmm. you know, so it's like, yeah, it was just, it was an amazing, amazing experience.
Sure.
And then the mass the next day, and, you know, sorry, we can't receive communion, but we could talk about spiritual communion and,
right.
you know, and
right.
that sort of thing. So again, the things that go wrong are still beautiful.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And that's in Poland, the big issue was the transportation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did have the trams, their mm-hmm. Light rail system, we'd call it here in the States.
Yeah.
They did have buses.
Mm-hmm.
The problem they had was the train started breaking down.
Down, yeah.
You know, just because of the number of people. And they added, mm-hmm. they brought trains. I literally think they brought trains out that had been built by the Soviet Union.
Yes.
That were brought to Poland by the Soviet Union
yeah.
back when it was still, you know, in the 80s or before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they brought everything they could.
Yeah.
And by and large, it worked. You
yeah.
know, we were able to get around. Once we figured mm-hmm. out the train system, it was mm-hmm. a really good way to get around.
Yeah. Right.
And they could get a lot of people around by it,
mm-hmm.
but not always.
Yeah.
And that was kind of towards the end. It was showing its signs
it's
that
sign,
it
yeah.
was it been
it was overtaxed.
Worked a little too hard.
yeah.
It worked a little too hard because
mm-hmm.
Again, like I said, where this big mass was located in Krakow, you got to the end of the bus system, the end of the tram system,
and
then you had to walk,
mm-hmm.
and it was miles that
mm-hmm.
you had to walk, 3 miles. I can't remember exactly what
mm-hmm.
it was. And, you know,
yeah.
it seemed longer because again,
mm-hmm.
you're not in a hurry. You know,
yeah.
you're going to get there. You
yep.
get there when you get there.
Yep.
Coming back was an interesting experience. The priests were separate from the groups.
Okay.
So the priests would go up front. We
mm-hmm.
could go up by the altar. I say
right.
by the altar. I was still probably a football field at least away.
No.
You know, I could see the Pope. He was a little white dot up there.
Yeah. You didn't need binoculars, but you
didn't need binoculars. Didn't have to use the big screen. I could see
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
But we were separate. So, of course, our
mm-hmm.
group. Our group was closer to the exit.
Mm-hmm.
So they started going. We just took off. The priests, you know, we'll get there when we get there.
Get there. Right.
And we get on a tram and get to we got on a tram and it stopped because it broke down. No,
mm-hmm.
we got on a bus. Excuse me. We got
okay.
on a bus. I'm trying to remember how it works.
Yeah.
We got on a bus because
it all
the
works
tram,
together at a certain point.
Yeah, the tram system had already the first tram that we came to had already broken down. That line
mm-hmm.
had already broken down.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, once a line breaks down, they can't keep them going. So we get to the bus and we were able to get on the bus and go, well, we're going to try to get on another line. So we get off the bus at that point. That system broke down
mm-hmm.
before it could get to us. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And so one of the priests is like, well, we're going to have to start walking. Now, we're on the other side of Krakow still.
Right.
We're talking another 10-mile walk. It's like,
yeah.
no, this ain't happening. I pretty much like, this ain't happening. I'm not
yeah.
walking. I'm done walking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, fortunately, we'll get on another bus, get to another line that was still running that would actually take us right to our
yeah,
place.
The square, right?
You know, right, you know, a mm-hmm. mile from our place, and then we could catch
yeah.
a bus from there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it worked out well. But, I mean, these trams were crowded.
Yeah.
They're hot. Again, they were breaking down. And so
mm-hmm.
that was the big issue. That's where
yeah.
where, you know, you do the pilgrimage side of it is things
yeah.
are going to happen.
Yeah. And leaving the site is always, it seems harder than getting there because it's
right.
just like, okay, I just want this to be over now.
yeah.
We've done it. We're done. We
yeah.
just want to go home.
We were hot.
You know?
We were tired. We were sore. And, you know, and,
yeah.
and part of it too, is when you're going to the site,
mm-hmm.
yes, people are going to more trickle in.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you've got 3.5 million people coming,
mm-hmm.
but they're going to be coming throughout the day.
Yeah. They're not,
you know,
all
some will be there in the morning,
like.
Some will be there in the evening. But once it's done, it's a flood.
Yeah.
3.5 million people leaving. No one wants to stick around.
Right.
So it's incredible. It really is an incredible event, you know, and if you haven't done a World Youth Day, I would highly, highly recommend it.
Yes.
It is.
And, you know, and especially if it's especially for, you know, don't think youth in the way Americans think youth. Think youth as the way, you know, think 18 year olds and up. It really is.
Young adults.
They'll get much more out of it. And also it makes it a lot easier to plan if you're the one organizing it because you all of a sudden don't have to deal with all the virtuous stuff and, you know, who can stay in what room.
Yeah. And we had a couple high school kids go, and there was issue of who's their chauffeur
Chaperone,
and you know, making sure everything's covered as far as that's concerned. And it wasn't a huge deal; it was easily done, but it was, you know, still an issue.
Yeah, but we've done. I've done both ways, and the group that actually went to both Sydney and Madrid was the core was pretty much the same, and they had actually also gone to Cologne and Toronto. Okay. They actually started as middle schoolers in Toronto.
Oh, wow.
Because it was Toronto and they figured, we can, you know, from New Hampshire, wasn't that hard to get there. Nope. And so they went Toronto as middle schoolers, then high schoolers in Cologne, senior high schoolers in Sydney, and they were graduating college by the time we finished Spain, which is another reason we didn't do Brazil, because, you know, they were done with World Youth Day.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah. I said it was 10 years ago was Toronto. No, that was 17 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to believe that was that long ago. But that's right. That was the last World Youth Day that John Paul II was at.
Right.
And so.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's just, again, it isn't just the event itself. It is the whole experience. It's the whole experience of planning it, of getting to get, you know, it takes 2 years for most kids to fundraise it, to fundraise the cost to get there. And so just even having those planning meetings and organizational meetings and getting to know the pilgrims that you're going to be traveling with.
Right.
And it creates lifelong bonds. I mean, these kids are friends for life, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And it is just, the whole process is just a formation in faith.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, and it is expensive.
It is.
It is not a cheap trip. You know, for us, it was right at $4,000 for the entire trip.
Yeah.
But that was airfare. That was meals. That was the whole works.
Same here.
You know?
Yep. And Australia was more because it was just the getting there.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like 30 hours of travel.
And, you know, they don't ever announce where the World Youth Days are going to be at until the end. So we'll find out where the next one, when and where the next one will be at the final mass for Panama. Because, of course, Panama is going on as we record this. I think when this gets released on Tuesday, it should be. Maybe that – I can't remember what – I don't know what day the final mass is.
I don't know day.
Oh, the 27th is the final day. So
I think that's Tuesday?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow is, as we record this, Sunday.
Yeah.
So by the time this comes out, we'll know where the next World Youth Day will be.
Yeah.
For those of us – if you happen to be on the continent it's occurring, it is a lot easier. So for those listening in North America, Canada, United States, if it happens to be up here, which it probably won't since it's in Central America, be worth going. You know, it might be probably, I'm going to guess Asia.
I'm thinking
that's,
Asia.
That's my prediction. Yeah. Again, this is being recorded before it's announced. I'm going to guess this could be somewhere in Asia.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I'm still hoping for an African continent, but I don't think they're ready for that yet.
I don't know. I don't know where in Africa it would happen. Yeah. There's unfortunately a lot of unrest there.
Yeah, and so I'm thinking Asia.
Someplace like Thailand or the Philippines or something like that.
New Zealand would be nice.
Yeah, I'd go to New Zealand. I'd go to Hobbiton.
Oh. Yes, indeed.
So this is Future Father Corey. I'm actually recording this the day after my conversation with Marika Sunday evening. I'm recording it just this morning, Sunday morning. It was announced at the closing mass World Youth Day, as they traditionally do, where the new location will be. And it will not be in Asia, as we both thought, as you just heard us say. Instead, it's going to be in Lisbon, Portugal in the year 2022. So that's 3.5 years to plan for the next World Youth Day. That sounds like that might be kind of a fun trip. might be worth doing. So anyways, there we go. We know where it's going to be. We both were wrong in saying that it was Asia, but that doesn't mean that we might not be right for the one following in 2024 or 2025 or whenever the next one after that will be. We'll find that out in 3.5 years. So back to the rest of the show. So now if you can't tell, it really was a wonderful experience. Yeah. You know, again, I've only gone to one in Poland. Mm-hmm. It's a great experience. Yeah. If you
and
get a chance.
All different. They are all different. They exactly. all have their own unique flavor. And, you know, people very often ask me, well, what's your favorite one? And I just go like, you can't tell. They're so different because you're dealing with the culture and you're dealing with just the whole history of the area and the saints of that area. And it's you really can't, you know, it's like in Spain, we had, we stayed in Days in the Diocese in Zamora, which is on the way of the Camino de Santiago. So we actually walked a piece of it, just a very small piece. That was part of the experience. You know, Sydney, you know, it's like just the fact that there were kangaroos and everybody was looking for kangaroos we called them roosinations because all the kids were seeing kangaroos in every bush and, you know, anything that moved was a kangaroo. Like, no, that's not a kangaroo. That's a bush. That's a cow. That's a sheep.
But eventually
we saw kangaroos, so they were excited. But it's like everyone has its own flavor. It's the language, you know, whether or not you speak some or none of it. Australia was great because everything was in English. So they're all different, but they're all so worth it. And I'm so glad I went. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely. If you get a chance, go. I mean, it is expensive. It's difficult. It's so worth it.
Yeah.
Please do take a chance and go to one if you haven't. And I think you'll enjoy it.
Exactly.
So it's a good time to take a quick break before we do our picks of the week. I want to once again thank everyone for listening to Let's Talk and all the other SQPN podcasts. We really do appreciate those of you who have been listening, who have been sharing, who have been giving us feedback. Of course, we greatly appreciate that. I want to encourage you, if you haven't checked it out yet, we have yet another new, we got two new SQPN podcasts I want to promote. The first one is Secrets of Technology. That's one that I'm on a rotating basis with Dom and a couple others. You know, we talk about technology, but we're not doing it as tech pundits. We don't get paid to do tech news. You know, so much of you listen to, if you're into technology at all, you know, the tech podcasts will usually talk from a certain way. You know, their pundits, their job as journalists or as tech geeks is to talk about technology. We're not that. So we're going to talk about technology, but we're not going to talk about how you have to have the latest, greatest smartphone for this month. The next month, the next latest, greatest smartphone is going to come out and the latest, greatest this and that and the other thing. No, we're going to talk about how technology affects our lives, what it means to be a Catholic and to use technology. Yes, we'll geek out over the latest technology, but we'll try to explain it in a way that your average person will understand. So please do check it out. You know, moral issues of technology, the use of technology in our faith, all these things. We're going to talk about that. Other thing, speaking of World Youth Day in Australia, we have the Catholics of Oz. We now have a podcast of Catholics from Australia who talk about their faith as Australians and their perspective as Australians. Very interesting. Of course, you know, there's going to be a lot of crossovers with those of us here in the United States, those of us here in North America, but they're also going to have a different perspective. So please do check that out as well, especially if you are from Australia. Shout out to our friends down there. Please do check them out. It's a very interesting podcast. I've listened to the first episode and great. They're doing a great job already. And very interesting to hear what they have to say. So check out our friends from Australia and all our other SQPN podcasts. We have lots of them. I'd also like to take a few minutes to thank our patrons, those of you who have joined at sqpn.com/give, joined our Patreon site. Special thanks to Michael F., Jonathan R., Andrew K., Bob M., and Joe B. Please do, or thank you, first of all, again, to those of you who are supporting us through Patreon. And if you haven't, you can go to sqpn.com/give and sign up. And if you sign up at certain levels, we even have some gifts for you. So please do check those out. All right. So let's switch over now to our picks of the week, which we do every week. We pick something, may or may not have anything to do with the topic, but would you like to share your pick?
Sure. I sort of had a hard time coming up with something, but then I downloaded a book. I'm going to say formed.org. If you haven't looked at it, it is fantastic. A lot of parishes are signed up for it. It was originally started as a parish to help parishes out with. It has videos and books and, you know, all these programs that you normally would buy separately, they're all there. So you, for a subscription rate. And the wonderful thing is for parishes is that they can, people can access them on computer, on smartphones. There's an app for it. And then, you know, then have discussions in the parish so that you don't have to take time out to actually watch the video in the parish. You can watch it at home and then come together and discuss. So it's sort of an upside down classroom. But what I just discovered, because I don't really learn well by video, I like to read. There are books on formed.org that you can download for free to your Kindle and then send them to your Kindle. And it's like, wow. You know, it's like I probably have downloaded about 20 books so far. And you know, even if they're like 10 bucks each, you know, it's just the savings of it. And it's all good stuff. It's all solid Catholic. You don't have to worry about, you know, well, is this, you know, Orthodox or not? And it's just a very good program and I would highly recommend it. So.
Oh, yes. Check we've been looking at it for our parish as well. And it's, you know, the nice thing of it is it's not kind of a fly by night thing. It's different. I'm trying to look it up here who all's involved in it, but it really
it's
is
like
a fantastic.
Ignatius is on it. Augustine Institute has pieces of it. I think it's mostly Augustine Institute. The Lighthouse Catholic Media is part of it. So it's all names, you know, and great stuff. It's and just wonderful programs. And you know, you can either use it to learn on your own or, you know, get a group together. And
I like this. My my former liturgy professor, Father Douglas Martis, he's first thing on trending topics, how should we worship in liturgy? So I know, you know, he's excellent professor. I really, everything I learned from liturgy, I learned from him. You know, so yeah, check that out. Form.org. Excellent. Excellent pick, because it really is good. For my pick, I'm switching to something a lot more geeky.
Surprise.
Yeah, exactly. So the reason why we didn't have Let's Talk last week was because of my scheduling issues. I was geeking out last week, Friday night, Saturday morning, because there was a new release of the game Magic the Gathering. Now, there's a lot of people listening who probably know this game. They've probably played this game at some time because it's been around for 25 years. Mm-hmm. It's a collectible. For those who don't know, it's a collectible card game in kind of a fantasy realm. You know, there's magic. You and the other player are wizards who are battling it out using these spells, using these creatures. And so you collect cards. Some are more powerful than others and some do different effects and all that kind of stuff to compete, to fight. And so last weekend there was what they call a pre-release. A new pack is coming out today as we record this Saturday. And so they do a pre-release where you get to play with the cards and all that kind of stuff. It's a lot of fun. If you're familiar with the game, you know how much fun it can be. You know how addictive it can be. To be forewarned, it can get very expensive, but it can also be a lot of fun. So my pick is the collectible card game Magic the Gathering. Check it out. You know, you can get sets that are pre-made where you can just pick them up and play. You can buy, of course, the booster packs and the boxes and this and that and everything else. And, you know, a lot of times there's a little local, for those of you who actually live in populated areas, unlike me, there are local cards game stores that you can go to and play these games, and they're usually be very willing to help you out. There's an online version that's coming out called Magic Arena that you can play it for free, completely free. You don't have to pay anything for it. Now, you might not do as well as someone who's going to pay money towards it, of course, like any free to play game. If you're willing to spend the money, it helps.
That's great.
But you don't have to. And that's the nice thing about it is you can go play it. It will teach you how to play it. It's got a nice little introductory tutorial, and then you have cards you can play with. So anyways, check it out, Magic Gathering. It's a lot of fun. If you haven't played it, it's worth doing it. If you've played it, you know how much fun it is. So that's my pick. Well, Marika, thank you for being on. It's been awesome. You know,
it's my
talked
first
longer
podcast
than I expected.
Where I know. It's my first podcast of being on a podcast. I've listened to lots of them for years, but it's great to be on.
You're always welcome to join us, you know, when you're available. We're glad to have you on. Where can people find you if they want to hear more from you?
Well, I'm on Facebook as Marika Donders. It's MarikaDonders. I'm the only Marika Donders apparently on Facebook, which is great. And I'm one-eyed smiley everywhere else. So Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat. And I think on Snapchat there is a dot between one-eyed dot smiley because the somebody already took my one-eyed smiley name. So,
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. And again, I'm Father Corey Stika. You can find me, my website where I post my homilies is frcorey.org. You can find me on Facebook. Father Corey Stika is my page. Fr Corey Stika on Twitter. And once again, if you wish to send us feedback, please send it to Let's Talk with no apostrophe at sqpn.com. And if you wish to join our Patreon, it's sqpn.com/give. Thank you very much for listening and God bless.